Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode. My name is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG, the Mortgage Guy. And we're back with my girl, Kiana Watson.
Hi, everybody. How are you? It's Kiana Watson, Atlanta real estate broker extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire.
License number 317576. You know what I mean? I got to be on my mat thing, you know, make sure. Ain't nobody coming
gotta
up after
compliant.
Me. Got to stay compliant.
Got to stay compliant. In these streets.
Welcome to Rants and Gems, where we're going to give you everything real.
Yeah, we're going to give you real estate, investing, news, strategy, education. We're going to be drinking red wine. Parental discretion is advised. Please, if you're watching with children, just understand I have a potty mouth. I apologize in advance. My apologies.
It's okay. I'm used to it, Matt. I'm used to it.
It is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't.
It ain't what it ain't.
All right, so what are we talking about today, Kiana?
So today we're going to be talking about investors. So everybody wants to be an investor, which is admirable. Honestly, you're even if you buy your first property, you're an investor because you're investing in something. But there is a real difference between being a first-time or second-time traditional retail home buyer and a true investor.
Okay, speak on it.
The point of the matter is, let me look at you guys. These 70% rules you got, these 80% rules you got, those are for real investors that are using hard money or cash to buy a property, flip it, put it back on the market, buy and hold. But let's just say that's not who you are. Let's just say you're like, hey, I'm buying my first house, my second home. I'm putting my minimum down payment of 3.5% on FHA, 5% down conventional, maybe 3% if you can do the Home Ready program. I mean, I know the programs. I can keep going. 100% FHA.
Talk it.
If you really wanted to know if I really knew. But if you're looking in the retail market with resale properties that are on the multiple listing service system, which is a system we use as real estate agents MLS. To list our properties, our MLS, it's not a true investor. That's a buyer that's investing in a property. Let's talk about it.
So you're saying someone can't buy property off of MLS and not be considered an investor?
What I'm saying is you can buy property off of MLS and you are investing in your first property, but that 70%, 80% rule is out the window. Mm. You're in the retail market. It's like comparing wholesale to retail. Okay. It ain't the same.
So let's break down the difference between wholesale in the retail market for those who are new to real estate.
Sure. Let's do it. So if you're let's do this. Because I get so many, I'm an investor, but I'm financing FHA, and I have minimum funds people. You're a buyer. Let's talk about it. When you're investing and you have this rule where you're like, I'm not going to pay over 70%, you're going to do your calculations, looking at your numbers, making sure everything makes sense, right? When you're doing that, most of the time you're using cash or hard money. Most of the time you can compete because you're looking at off-market deals. And even if you're using hard money, it's really considered cash because it's still cash in your pocket to the person that's actually selling the property.
Okay.
So you can use those calculations. Get the property, have capital to invest in a cosmetic flip or a detailed flip or new floors, new refrigerator, all those things. And whether you put it back on the market or hold it, you're a true investor because you're looking at it from an investor standpoint because you are using cash money. You can close in 7 days, 10 days. Mm. You don't need all that. The difference between you and the retail market is if you're looking at investments, they're like, listen, I'm just looking at where the cash flow is. So obviously, there are specific areas that have high cash flow, but may not be ideal for you to live in with your family. But you don't care about that because you're not living there with your family.
Okay.
So if you're looking at specific areas where it's like maybe the schools are rated a 2 and a 3, but this is a high rental area. this market is blue collar. Average income is maybe $30,000, and more than likely 60% of the population rent. That means you can gouge them on the rents. So as an investor, you're like, I'm coming over here. I'm buying this house. I'm not emotional because this is not where I'm living. This is where I'm investing. Mm. On the other end, you're a buyer. You're a buyer of a property that you're investing in. All right?
Yeah, I get that, but they're still investing in real estate. Even if they are a buyer, right. Even if it's their first time mm-hmm. buying their first home, you know,
they are.
Right? They have an investment, especially if it's a multifamily. They're collecting multiple income. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right? They're doing all that.
You're still doing your thing.
But they're just not buying at discounts.
You're not buying at discounts. And that's why you have to consider yourself as a buyer investor. You know, you can't use these rules. You can't use this 70% off rule when you got to wait 45 days to close. You can't use this rule because at the end of the day, you're on the retail market. You're buying properties that are on the retail market. So they're already inflated. As mm-hmm. agents, especially in our current market, you know what I mean? I'm looking at the average price point, and I just throw an extra 15% on top of that and put it on the market because I know it's going to sell.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, look, if a first-time home buyer is smart, right, they won't go for that market. They should go and compete with the investors. And this is why I say, right?
Can they really compete? Can you compete a person that's putting 3.5% down on an FHA loan with contingencies that has to close in 45 days mm-hmm. with a cash buyer with no contingencies that can close in 7?
No one can compete with that.
Oh, okay. Let's be
right.
Real. Okay.
No one's going to compete with that. That's the cream of the crop.
Well, that's what's happening, though.
That's definitely what's happening. That's okay. out there in the marketplace, right? But there's still a percentage of homes out there that are being financed through hard money and other things, right? So now, there is a 70% rule that these folks are going to follow because they are investing. But what I try to tell first-time home buyers, if you are using like a 203K or something like that, or Fannie Mae home style,
right.
you can compete and you can outbid them because they're not going to go above that 70% rule for
exactly.
the most part. But they can go, the first-time home buyer can go to 75, they can go to 80, and now they're walking in the house with 20% equity or 10% equity. Mm-hmm. Right, but that's a way that a first-time home buyer can now be an investor also.
I think
they're not going to probably win a lot of the battles. Let's keep it real.
Exactly.
I'm not saying you're going to win the battle. I'm just saying, like, here's a way for you to go about it.
So Matt says you could put on the armor, but you're not going to win.
Look, closed mouth don't get fed at the end of the day. You can go out there in the war and you can go out there and bust your gun, but you might not hit nothing, right?
This is my thing. I think that the investor rule doesn't apply to retail properties. You can't look on the retail market and expect to get the same deal
that
you would get on an off-market property.
That I agree with. Retail is crazy.
And retail it just doesn't support it. And so keep in mind when a person lists their properties from a realtor standpoint, they paying all the agent fees.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they already got fees up front they're paying. So that's already added into the actual purchase price.
Absolutely.
And so when you come in and you're trying to Jew them down and you're cutting into their bottom line,
yeah.
it is not going to make sense. And so if you know it's the difference between a retail buyer and a like I said, in a person, it's like I'm an investor. A retail buyer wants they want the A+ school districts.
Mm-hmm.
They want the house already. They want the courts.
Yeah,
they want the agreeable gray on the walls.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, we want all of that.
They want all of that. But see, a regular investor is like, I don't care. It could have white appliances in this thing. You can have every room could be a different color, but I can see past that and I can see the potential because mm-hmm. I got the capital to actually invest in the flip. That's the difference.
So what should that retail buyer do? Because that's the pain point right now.
Yeah.
Right? In the market. Is that buyer right now is having such a hard time finding a deal. How does that buyer now transition to get deals?
I would say there's a couple of different programs out here.
Okay.
The first thing I would say is try to turn yourself into a cash buyer if
okay.
you can.
How would someone do that?
So get a hard money loan.
Okay.
But see, hard money is not 3.5% down, MG.
No, it's not.
It's 10, 20% down.
Look, based on your experience, right? If you don't have experience, you might as well say you're going to put 20 to 25% down.
Exactly.
If it's your first deal. But you have to understand the rules of hard money because it's not as simple as saying, hey, I'm going to get a hard money loan, even if you have the down payment. right? You need to, your ARV, your after renovated value,
yes,
in most cases can't exceed the 70%. That's the 70%
rule. That's why you stick to the 70%.
Right? But if you're buying in a retail market, like you said, then there's no way you're going to hit that. And then you're going to get declined. So, but your offers are going to get rejected because the numbers are not going to work for you.
Exactly.
But that person, you know, again, I'm just a fan of them going after that type of, because the distressed market, like, you know, there's listings that's,
yeah,
that's flying off the market, but there's listings that's over 30 days, over 60 days, over 90 days.
That are amazing.
That are amazing, but just need some work.
Minus some paint and some appliances. Most of it is paint, appliances. I know a guy that can literally use his little spray paint and make a, they could make this table look like granite or quartz. Like, this is the thing.
People out here creative nowadays.
This is some real creative situations. And, but a lot of people are not here for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I was like, I want to be an investor, if I was that person and I'm buying a property with the intentions of being an investor, I don't want the shiny project. I don't want the property that you already done did all the stuff to. Because you marking it up 300% just because you got the quartz in there.
Yeah.
Just because you got the white soft closed cabinets. I don't need that.
Yeah. So
give me the regular house that's been on the market.
They don't want that though.
They don't. They don't want it.
And that's what I'm trying to understand, what's going on with the mindset and the psyche of people, because people want to buy homes.
Right.
Right. People, there's tons of buyers. Anybody in real estate who's transactional, like a loan officer, a realtor, or anybody who working doing that, they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's busy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But why the buyer's not transitioning yet is still, I don't understand.
I'll tell you this.
Like,
this,
why they're not moving from that retail mindset to that investor mindset?
I think what it is, and this is my mindset about it, we all have this American dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about you. You know, I don't know how people grew up in New York. I can only talk about North Carolina or how I grew up. But it's this thing where you get the dream house, you get the picket fence, mm-hmm. you get the dog, you get the great schools. The girl is the cheerleader.
Yeah.
The little boy plays football, right?
Yeah.
You got this dream. And sometimes these properties that are distressed, that neighborhood don't look like that dream.
Nah, they don't.
You done saved $20,000, $30,000. You're ready to buy your first house. And you're thinking, I'm moving my family up to this, you know, better neighborhood. And let me just say this. There's nothing wrong. I grew up in the project, so I can speak very clearly.
Yeah.
So if you go from the projects and you want to go to that first house, which you, the last thing you want to do is go, I'm coming from the PJs where I done saved my money.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to a house, but it feels like the PJs because, you know, it's transitioning. Yeah. Or I'm going to go to the pretty picket fence house. And it's a mentality thing to realize that real estate is investment. I read an article and I actually saw a quote that was basically was like, don't ever get emotionally attached to your property,
even if it's
your primary property.
You can't.
There should never be an emotional attachment to real estate.
But that's the problem, right?
Emotionally attached.
Everybody's emotionally attached, but also at the same time, like, no, it's sacrifice, what you just named. Like, you can't, you got to crawl before you walk at the end of the day. You can't go from the projects to the penthouse.
No.
In certain cases, you can.
Very small.
And if your money is not there, you just got to take that roadmap. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with saying, yo, I'm going to do 1 or 2 years here. I'm going to do 1 or 2. Like, you move yourself
up
gradually.
Keep moving.
And you keep doing it. But that's why I don't understand. And every time I speak to buyers, I'm like, guys, why y'all keep going? Like, I say, what's the houses you're looking at when you put all these offers in? So when I'm looking at the homes, I'm like,
the best home on the block.
They just came on the market.
Right.
The best home on the block, or maybe top 2 or 3 on the block, right? And I'm like, nah, that's not where you want to go. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's plenty of homes that are out there that's 30 days, 60 days in the marketplace that you can just go and put your work in. It may not have A schools. It may have B schools.
You know what?
It is
what
it is.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I told you guys, I have a whole master's degree. MBA, Masters of Business Administration. I grew up in the projects. I came out just fine. Okay? And I say that to say, you know, sometimes we have to really stop, get away from the labels. I think a lot of the first-time buyers looking for the labels, they want the swim tennis community. Those labels are going to mess you up when it comes to thinking about investments. Instead of looking at a property at the investments, the areas that are appreciating the value, in the areas that have growth. I'm going to give you an example.
Talk to me.
Atlanta.
Shout out to the A.
Atlanta. Let's talk
Wakanda.
About Atlanta. You know that's where I'm at. Wakanda. We got the West End, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The West End used
Give
to
us
have
a zip code.
Stress. Oh, 30031.
We like zip codes.
All right. So we go to South. You over there. And you have these beautiful properties, historical homes, mm-hmm. historical homes, selling for $50,000.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
$100,000. Okay. Nobody want them. Nobody want to live over there because, you know.
How long ago was this?
This was 4 years ago.
Okay.
4 years ago. $50,000, $100,000, $150,000. Right now in Westview, West End, we're talking $400,000, $500,000, wow. million-dollar contemporary homes being built.
Wow.
And this is what happened. Certain people didn't mind living in an area that was transitioning, having yoga in the park. Mm. Jogging with their dogs.
Dog parks.
And calling the police. Yes, the police. There's a person outside that looks a little suspicious. Please take care of this because they understood the investment.
Yeah.
And then there's others that are like, listen, I grew up around this. I'm not going to move from where I was to here. So I want to pass on the opportunity to live in an area that is gentrifying. And I want to go to an area that already has the picket fence. Mm. And so the difference between those two areas is appreciation.
Okay.
And value. So you have where the West End was, it grew so much that our mayor actually cut permits off last year because she was so concerned about how fast the values were growing in that area. Mm-hmm. Then you have areas that are got the picket fence. They don't got that much value appreciation, but it's the picket fence.
So what happened in that area, right? Over that 4 year time frame, you say these homes were 50 to 100K.
Yeah, people came in and they came in, they renovated them, and they lived in them.
And what about what?
And they
happened
started
in the
to beautify the area, the neighborhood. They
what
started
type
to
of changes?
We talking about coffee shops. Now okay. We got coffee shops. Now we got yoga in the park.
Okay,
you know what I mean? We're talking about when gentrification happens, and I always say this, and I stand in this, and I'm not gonna let nobody. And y'all can get upset when I say this. We can't get mad when places gentrify and outprice us because when we had the opportunity to buy in those areas when it was affordable to us, we thought we were too good to live there. Mm. That is what happened.
That's a fact. You can't even argue with that. No one. I agree with that 110%.
Oh, you agree?
No, I agree with that.
Okay.
We rarely agree.
We
run it kind of low over here. We may need to hold on. We may have to take a little break real quick.
We need to top this off because this is good, but it's real.
Yeah, we gotta refill during it. You know what I'm saying? Fuck it. This is the Rancid Gym.
This is the Rancid Gym. This is the real conversation.
Yeah, but I 100% agree with that.
People
right?
literally didn't want to live there. Yeah. And West, go over to West End, shit, I used to be nervous going over there. I was shoulder house. But you talking about some tennis, Kiana, oh, you think I'm wearing this? Oh, no. We talking about the tennis shoes. I ain't got no jewelry on.
Nah, 100%. I'm catching Uber. And I can understand why people wouldn't want to put their families in those situations. Look, everybody has to make a choice, right?
Right.
But at some point, there has to be sacrifice. There has to be some sort of patience. There has to be strategy.
Right.
Like the first house you buy is not the last house you're going to buy.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? And I think it's just all about being more strategic.
I think we also have to think about this. It's okay if you're going to be a retail buyer. It's okay if you want to buy your family into a different neighborhood, but just don't bring your investor hat because you done learned all this on EYL. Shout out to EYL University.
Shout out to all the earners.
Because you done learned all this information. You know,
they
you
out there executing, baby.
You
shout
out here
to
executing. And then you want to talk to your realtor talking about something. Oh, I don't want to pay 80% over on a retail property. So you got to switch your hat and recognize that you're paying the tax for the picket fence. Mm. And be okay with it.
Getting taxed for the picket fence.
You're getting taxed for the picket fence, baby. Okay. It's the truth.
Yeah, everything's up. Lumber's up. Everything's up. You're getting taxed every way.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not that we don't mind. I love working with first-time buyers. I think what it is when you're a first-time buyer, and let me say this disclaimer.
Okay.
I am the first person out of my family to own a property.
Tokes, I got
to see what I'm saying? I'm the second oldest of six kids. I know what it is. I come from the projects. Like, can't nobody really tell me who I am. I know who I am. I know what I built. I know how I grew up, and I know where I'm at right now. But I'm going to tell you this. I have a realistic expectation. you know, a lot of buyers come into this like you had, like somebody owes you something because you decided to buy a house. Nobody owe you nothing. Mm. You buying a house for you and your family and to build generational wealth for you and your family. Nobody, the seller don't owe you nothing. The agent, the lender, everybody involved in the transaction, we're here to do a perform a service, which is make sure you're protected, but nobody owes you anything. And some of these first-time buyers come to this like everybody owes them something. The government owes me money because I'm buying the first house. Where's my first-time home buyer program? Mm. The agent owes me time. Show me 50 houses. The lender owes me his time. Make sure you explain every single word on this disclosure to me. As a matter of fact, I'm calling you every day. Because I want to know what's going on at 6 a.m. You see what I'm saying? But nobody really, like, this is the thing. Let's be honest. We're here to protect your best interests. But owning a home is a right and a privilege. You should be proud to do it. But keep in mind that owning your first home as a retail buyer, that experience is not going to be the same as if you were an investor. And accept it. You're not getting 80% off. You're not, that 70% rule doesn't apply. It just don't.
Nah, I definitely agree. If you're shopping in retail, 100%, it doesn't apply.
It does not. They want it to apply.
Yeah, but it can't apply.
Like, so please say it one more time because I want you to say it louder.
Because it just doesn't make sense. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just not going to happen. So if you want that rule to apply, then you got to play in that jungle.
Right.
And when you're dealing, look, you damned if you do, you damned if you don't in this situation.
Right.
If you play in a retail market, you're gonna overpay at some point, right? And then if you're playing in that investor market, you're going to lose on bids because you ain't got all cash.
But can we talk about the investor market real quick?
Let's talk about it.
Because even you first-time investors, you think you're winning, but I get so many calls from so many people, paranoid, scared, sick, about to lose the deal because they thought they could just jump into the investor's market without having the true knowledge. They get an overpriced by all these contractors. Mm. They overpaying for everything. They end over their heads, and now they're like, oh, my God, I can't finish the project.
There's a lot of horror stories out there.
You know why they can't finish the project? Because they didn't take the time. They literally saw something. I ain't going to front. They saw something on Instagram. They saw YouTube and said, oh, I'm flipping the house. And they just jumped out there, and they don't understand the true value of what is supposed to cost what. They're getting over it. It's really happening.
No, I definitely recommend anybody who's going to go into any sort of investment.
Yeah.
Right? No matter if it's real estate, stocks, whatever, trucking, who cares? You need to do your due diligence before you lay out your money because a lot of people are like, getting killed right now.
Getting killed.
And it's a lot of ugly stories that people don't really speak about because it's all, look.
The calls because they like, can you hurry up and sell it? I can't. Yeah. Oh, they ask me, can I buy it?
Yeah.
I see you and your husband.
100%. Y'all moving and shaking. Like
you moving and shaking.
You're a buyer?
Because it's messed up. And I think what happens is, I think we have to stop thinking that everything has to be this major investment. Where I'm going to give you a real life example. Like, I'll use my own self as an example. What about myself? Okay.
I bought
my first crib. I was a property manager. I used the money out my 401k. I think at the time maybe it was like $16,000, right? Mm-hmm. By the time I was ready to sell that house, I lived in it for 2 years, moved out, got married, blah, blah, blah. Turned into a rental property.
Okay.
Made cash on that. Then I sold it, and I ended up making like $140,000 when I sold it.
Nice.
So let's be clear. I wouldn't look at it from the eyes of an investor. I'm like, I'm buying a house. I feel comfortable in this area. And that's it.
And the timing was right.
And the timing was right. So this is where I'm at.
So let me ask you a question.
You can just buy your first house and that's your investment.
So let's talk about that time frame, right?
Yeah.
When you was out in the marketplace, was it as competitive as it is now?
No, it wasn't like this. This is different. So, and you have to shift your mind because it is different. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm closing on the house tomorrow.
Yeah. That's dope. Congratulations.
In Brookhaven.
Brookhaven,
Buckhead. Let me tell you something.
Brookhaven.
They raped me on this house. I wish I could tell you all the details, but we're going to do a whole nother video about it. But I'm going to tell you this. I haven't even closed. I got $100,000 in equity on my appraisal.
Damn.
$100,000 in equity
My appraisal.
And so I did what it took to win the offer because I'm thinking long term. This is a second home for me. It's not where I'm going to live. I'm Airbnb in that joint. In the days I want, I'm going to be there. But it's right in the city because I understand value. And that money that I'm putting down is going to be worth more in this house than it is sitting in my bank account. It's called, I'm investing smart. I'm not investing in a house I got to flip. house is good. I'm throwing furniture in there. It will be on Airbnb within 30 days. That's it.
That's a home run.
But that's also an investment. But again, y'all got to see, investment doesn't always mean a hammer and nail. Sometimes it's investing in the right area at the right time with the right values.
But you're not sitting here waiting and thinking.
Oh,
right?
No.
You're only focused on what you can control.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You're not waiting for anything else, any things to happen.
No.
To make your decisions in life.
I saw what was happening. I said, Brookhaven is growing 18%. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching the prices go up. So I said to myself, if I don't get something that's dope right now, by the time I want it and I think I'm ready and I'm waiting for whatever's going to happen, I'm not going to want to spend the money.
Yeah, nah, 100%.
I'm not going to want to spend the money.
Yeah.
So I said, let me go ahead and spend this money now where this makes sense. But did I pay a little bit above asking? Yes. I did. I did not waive my appraisal though. I didn't do that.
Man, we're gonna probably have a whole separate conversation on that appraisal.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But I think what it is so many people are afraid because you don't understand the numbers. I'm a realtor. I'm watching the numbers go up. Mm-hmm. I see where the growth is. Buckhead is full. Brookhaven is right beside Buckhead. We next.
So okay. So you're giving now. You're saying Kiana Watson on the Rants and Gems show that Brookhaven is the place where people need to invest.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Go to Brookhaven because it's right next door to Buckhead. It's up, 30319.
Oh, hold on. Zip code
30319.
Y'all heard
and
it.
So you keep in anything attached to the city. You got Rants West and Gems, Atlanta, 30318. You know, anything that's going to be attached to the city of Atlanta, that's where you want to go because that's where the growth is. So I'm not thinking about what I'm spending now, I'm thinking about the potential of what I can make off the investment.
Okay.
And then I'm looking at the potential of the advancement in the appreciation values. Everybody always talks about cash flow. Nobody talks about investment. Let's think about New York.
Mm-hmm. New York is people, on fire right now.
What happened when they was buying those brownstones 10, 15 years ago? How much was those brownstones?
Oh, look, let me tell you something, right? Brooklyn was not on fire like it is right now. You know, 2007, 2008, you could probably go in Brooklyn, 400,000, 500,000, mm-hmm, easy, right? And get something. Now today it's $2 million.
You hear that? Like $2 million.
You know, and it's about
timing. $1.5 million.
No one wanted to live in Brooklyn at these times.
Now,
you know what I'm saying? But now Brooklyn is Brooklyn. Brooklyn is fucking begging in Manhattan right now.
See,
you know what I'm saying? Like Brooklyn is Brooklyn.
And so real estate is always the safe bet. And I just want you guys to know that every investment doesn't mean ripping out cabinets. Sometimes an investment is just a solid property in the right area, mm-hmm, with the right potential for growth, and you move there and you live your best life.
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed many of the signs to look for that growth. Now, Brookhaven, was this the place to go 4 years ago?
Brookhaven was, they were thinking about it. Brookhaven had just got announced. You get what I mean? Because it was just an area outside of Buckhead.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to be Brookhaven.
Okay.
All right, cool. Okay. And now we're building all these properties. Now the average price point of Brookhaven is like $600,000, $700,000. So it keeps building up. And so, of course, you got your eye on it.
Yeah.
Because anything that, you know, we know we got the major places here. We got Phipps Plaza, which is where our malls are at. You can, mm-hmm, go Gucci, Prada, Louis, whatever you love.
Yeah.
You got Lenox right across from there. Brookhaven is 10 minutes from there.
Okay.
It's literally right there. And
this is mostly single families?
Single families. They got a couple of townhouses, single families.
So basically,
and you get suburbia with the mix of the city. So you can have a whole house, some land, mm-hmm, and it's like, all right, in 10 minutes, I'm in the city. I'm good. I love it here. Okay. You know what I mean? I'm not congested. Like Buckhead is, Buckhead is what it is. Buckhead is Buckhead. Buckhead is amazing, right? That's where the major things are, but Buckhead is expensive, and Buckhead is full.
Buckhead is definitely full.
It's full.
So you go to Brookhaven. Someone who wants to house hack, for example,
mm-hmm,
would it be good if they want the Airbnb? Ooh, yes. Or something like that?
Because I looked it up. So this is what I decided to do with my property.
Talk to us.
Because I had to look it up. Because I'm like, where does the numbers make sense? Mm-hmm. I had to put my, you know, I got the MBA. Everything got to go on Excel sheet. Like, let's see where the numbers are going to make sense. So mm-hmm, here we are. You know, I saw a house that don't even look nowhere near as good as my house. $699 a night. Yep. Five bedrooms. I got five bedrooms. And I'm about to deck it out. Because this is
crazy.
The thing. It's right. When people come in town, they live in Airbnbs, they come in with a crew. Nobody come. First of all, when y'all come to party in Atlanta, you don't come alone.
Yeah,
it'd be you and five other friends.
Yeah, yeah. You got family. Yeah,
you got
everything.
Family. You came down here.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, this is convenient.
Yeah.
And so And this is going to be a 3-night booking minimum. It's the minimum
so
nights
a
for me.
Three nights, $9.99. Three
minimum.
$3K. Your $3K. Mortgage on something like that. You know, if you're doing this as an investment property, mm-hmm. you could put down 15%, mm-hmm. right? Because it's a single family property.
All of that.
Right? You can do 15% down on something like that. You'll probably get a rate today somewhere in the low threes. I mean, high threes,
low fours.
Not
low fours. Yeah.
Somewhere around there. Yeah. Right? That's phenomenal. That's a home
Absolutely.
Run.
Absolutely. It's a home run.
You can
run.
Make $3K. Your mortgage payment, what's the taxes on this?
Now, the taxes ain't no joke. You know what I mean? Taxes ain't no joke.
That's still not bad, though.
About $5,000.
$5,000 on taxes, only like $400 a month.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not bad at all. You're talking about probably like a $2,500 payment.
And you winning because you can make that in a 3-night stay. And then choose the days you want to be there. So this is the thing.
I hope y'all paying attention to
this is the thing I'm trying to tell you guys. Like, even for me, it took me a while because when I sold my other property last summer, at first I was looking for places to flip. I'm like, I want to flip houses. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, what do you really want to do? You know, I started watching market trends, and it was either going to be Buckhead or Brookhaven. Mm. So I was first under contract in a house in Buckhead. They tried to rape me. I had to walk.
You had to go.
Because you're not going to give me a... Because you're not going to tell me I got to take a house with termites in a hole in the roof.
Oh, yeah. They were trying to get you.
As is.
They were trying to get you.
You just can't do me like that. Yeah. I'm an agent. Yeah. First of all, no. We're not doing that. So I moved on.
They were trying to get you.
So with me moving on, I'm recognizing, and I'm also, you know, I'm having conversations with my private banker. I'm having conversations with, you know, people that are helping me with my investments. And I'm like, you know what? Real estate is a safe bet. If I just lived in a house and made $140,000 off a house I stayed in 2 years, well, let me go somewhere where the values are up and I can take advantage of Airbnb. There was an article that came out in Airbnb that said they would need 1 million houses to keep up with the demand of what people are looking for.
For nationwide?
Yeah. That's people crazy. Are looking for it in Airbnb.
That's a beautiful opportunity.
And so the opportunity is there. I think we just got to see it, you know, because initially I was like, I'm going to buy this house. I'm like, I live far. I don't want to live far no more. And I said, let me flip this. What do I really want? I want an investment. I need something bringing me in some. I'm an earner too, baby.
Okay. Big earners in the building.
It's a big earner in the building. So
I think that's a dope strategy, right? Because we all talk about multifamily investing. Right?
Exactly.
Because this topic, we're talking about first time home buyers and we're talking about investing, right? So single family investing, condo investing is not bad. People ask me that all the time. Should I buy this condo?
Yeah.
Should I buy this single family? And I'm like, yeah, why not?
Because exactly.
You can Airbnb these things. Like you said, a million homes to keep up with the demand.
To keep up.
Like, you can buy a second home with a conventional mortgage, a true second home. Someone living in New York can buy a second home, whether it's a condo or a single family home, and put down 10%.
And get your money out of it.
And you can get your money out
of
it.
You know, go to these little sites. You put the Airbnb furniture in there. Maybe cost you. And my budget is $25,000 for the furniture because it got to be lit.
Yeah.
But it ain't got to be the house. It ain't got to be the furniture you're used to in your house. You need sturdy furniture, but it don't got to be that. We don't need a $20,000 dining table. You see what I mean?
Nah, you don't need to.
You need something.
You got to make it look nice.
Just make it look nice and make it what it is, and get your money out of it.
And you'll definitely get your money out of it.
And it's coming. And so, what I'm trying to explain is, you don't have to buy a multifamily. You don't have to buy a house that you got to go knock a wall out to be considered an investor. You just got to be smart and you got to understand the numbers and the trends of your city. And if your agent's not doing that for you, I feel sorry for you, son. You know what I mean? I got 99 problems, but the numbers ain't one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The numbers is not one. It's never. Not for me or my clients.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Look, man, single family ownership is not bad. I own a couple single families. I own multifamilies. Single families are not bad. You can house hack anything.
Exactly.
You know, even if you're going to want to occupy the property, you can Airbnb a room.
Right.
I know folks who Airbnb their basements. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's so many ways
like
to do
you
it.
You can house hack anything.
You just got to be smart.
You just got to be
smart.
And
on top of that, just don't get caught up either way. Don't get caught up in the retail market where you're uncomfortable with the numbers. And don't get caught up in the investor's market because the investor market, mm-hmm. Like I said, like there's got to be some type of private group or something so you can really sit and figure out what you should pay for each thing. Yeah. I don't think that people recognize what you should pay for cabinets, what you should pay for countertops, what you should be paying for floors. And so,
nah, people need to invest in their education.
Yeah, and so, and you're not. And so you just jump out here and you're getting overcharged to do these flips. It's cutting into your bottom line. And then when you sell the property, you're not making the money you thought you were going to make. And that's a lot to do with you just jumping in because you thought this market would be so much better. There's more than one way to skin a cat. I know people making buku off Airbnb.
Nah,
100%. You know what I mean? And you don't have to get a house that needs all that renovation. Now, I'm not saying nothing is wrong with one or the other, but recognize the 70% rule goes over here.
Yeah, I think, look, this whole thing sums up for me is like you have to invest in your education.
I agree.
Right? Like you have an MBA. I'm a college dropout, right? But I spent tens of thousands of
dollars.
Ain't
nothing wrong with that because I would give my paper degree back. If they would give me my money back, they could have it back. I'll take the title off. I'll just be the broker. Real talk, let me tell you something. The only reason
that
I scream that MBA to the top of the roof because they get my money every single month. So somebody needs to know I got
it. Yeah, 100%. And you earned the right.
Earned it,
that.
And I'm paying and for it, literally and figuratively.
You know what I'm saying? But like, people need to invest. Same way you invested in your education, people need to invest in these courses.
Right.
We both have digital products, you know. And sometimes people like, oh, it's free for me. But guys, you're not even using the free information. Most of you guys,
yes,
you know, it's a lot of you who are, but it's a lot of you who are not.
I agree,
right? And you guys probably need to invest your money into the educational courses so that way you can learn this and maybe you'll take it a little bit more seriously. Maybe it'll, like, if you got $10,000 invested into something or $5,000 or whatever that number is,
right?
Maybe you'll be like, you know what, I gotta go out here and I gotta do it now. Maybe that will be the thing that will push you, and then it will save you in the long run.
Yeah.
Either which way, it's going to save in the long run, and that's why I think people definitely need to invest into products.
I agree.
Educate yourself, build your foundation. Too many people have FOMO, fear of missing out. Right, and they just want to jump in, they spend their money, and they lose their shirt.
And it's not, and let me tell you something, those calls I get when someone's like, can you buy my house? Like, I mean, literally, I mean, and they've gotten these hard money loans, and y'all think hard money is all easy peasy. They want their money.
No, they
want it back, and look, they own you for real.
You have to.
And it's just, you got to know.
You got to know your stuff, and you have to do your due diligence, you have to do your research, you have to take your time to build your team. You have to do everything. So even if you're that first-time retail buyer going out, you have to do the legwork.
And it's okay.
You have to take
your
time with it.
It's okay to be a regular. Like, I think that there's such a terrible name. Like, buying a regular house is a problem. Like,
no, it's not.
When did buying a regular house and just living in it and building equity become such this harsh thing to say, like, I got to buy a house and flip it. I got to get a REIT.
Yeah.
I got to get multifamily. Like, everybody just want to keep jumping past the process. But if you can just buy that first house and maintain that and build you some equity from that, you can set yourself up for the major deals and you'll start understanding how real estate works. And I think that we have to stop shunning people because they just want to buy, they just want to buy a house for them. And if you just want to buy a house for you and your family, that's okay. Because there
100%.
Are people that literally buy their houses.
Nothing wrong with it.
Like me, I'm paying student loans back. But had my parents been owners, like my other friend's parents, they took an equity line of credit out and paid for her whole college. Here I am still paying loans back. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with saying I just want to buy a house, build equity, and use the equity line to take care of my family either. Mm-hmm. I think that we are so caught up in thinking what's right and what's wrong. And there's nothing wrong with any way you choose to do it as long as you're owning. That's it.
That's the major thing. Just own some shit, man.
Just own some shit.
Own
like
some
Aisha
shit.
Say, own
shout
some
out
shit.
To
shout
Aisha.
Out to Aisha.
Shout out to Aisha, man.
And Philly.
Yeah, you got to give it up to her, man, because I use her tagline all the time.
Just own some shit.
Because I 1,000% agree with her.
Yeah.
Own some shit, man. Own some shit. I don't care if it's a single family.
Just own it.
Multifamily. Be smart. Know if you're going to be a retail buyer and you're going to buy single families or townhomes and you don't have the capital, just know it's going to be harder for you now to invest.
Right.
Right? If you know you want to invest, then, hey, don't go for the single.
Don't.
Or the condo. Then you have to go for the multi if you want to be a landlord, if that's what your goals are, right? But just understanding your foundational work has to be done either which way.
I agree.
Right? It has to be done either which way. And you have to go out there and execute and make the right decisions.
And that's the biggest thing. Execute. And make the right decisions, you guys. Like, don't get caught up into what you think is. There's no right way to buy real estate. Because as long as you buying, you doing it the right way, honestly.
Look, if you're going to buy a house to live in and it's for your family, even if, and this is just keeping it a buck, I said I would never pay above asking price. Hell no, right? That's just me. That's just my thought process. But if you do, fuck it. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
You want to live there with your family, and hopefully you made the right decision. Only time will tell. But if this is a house that you know you're going to be in for 10 years, 15 years, you're raising your family, then you'll recoup that money back at some point.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But if it was short term, then you might have to question that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? If you know, like, I'm in here 2 years, 3 years.
Then maybe not. That's not the right one.
It might not be advantageous
for you. But on top of that, like, you don't buy retail properties that's ready either, Matt. You buy retail and you're like, yeah, I'm renovating.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm not buying nothing fixed stuff.
You don't want the shiny house with the sparkles. I don't want your renovation. I don't want your quartz countertops.
I'm about to build my dream house right now.
Exactly.
And it's in my dream area, but the house that I have, and we have, shout out to Tooks, we have video on this already.
Ooh, can't wait
we're
to
documenting
see.
This whole journey. That'll come out on the YouTube, MG the Mortgage Guy. Make sure y'all subscribe.
Make
follow,
sure y'all subscribe.
All that
oh,
good
you
shit.
See this? You see that? You see that?
All that good shit. Hit the bell for notifications.
See how
you know.
My partner do things.
All that good shit. But you'll see that soon. We waiting for permits right now and plans, but it's a bitch, but whatever. Right, but we documented, we're going to journey that whole thing. And but no, I'm not buying.
That's the point. But you understand that I can't get the best house on the block and get the deal.
Yeah, nah.
And I think that if people don't take anything away from this episode, recognize if you want the best house on the block, you're not going to get the deal.
No.
But if you're going to get the worst house on the best block, because that's what you should do as an investor. Get the worst house on the best block.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point.
Then you get the deal.
Right, and that's what we're saying. Like, look. This whole episode of Rants and Gems is all about first-time home buyer, investor. What's the difference between it? What's the mindset? How you have to really approach both situations.
Exactly.
Knowing your fundamentals, the whole nine yards. Since you spoke about your personal stuff, I'll speak about this house that I'm talking about. It's a piece of shit house, but I love the bones of it. You know
See?
What I'm saying? It's in my dream area, somewhere I always wanted to live, and I paid the grip for it. I paid $900 for it, and I still put like $500,000 into it. Right? But that shit's going to be $2
million. Exactly.
$2.2
million. Because you know.
And it's going to be everything that I want. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be up $500,000-$600,000.
And that's
equity.
Even, it's beautiful. Like, it's a beautiful
and
thing.
Even, so if the market does correct, even if it crashes 30%, I'm still good.
Still winning.
I'm still good because this is a house. Shit, I may never move again.
That's the point.
You know what I'm saying?
That's like, the point.
Like,
you know what
it,
I mean?
This
and
is
then
maybe
when you
it.
Renovate it, it becomes yours and it's like your baby.
It's going to be beautiful.
I think that it's okay to have forever homes too. You know what I mean?
You know what?
I think because I don't have that.
I don't have that either.
I'm actually that for my family.
I'm the forever family.
So when they come to Atlanta, they come to my crib that, shout out to my husband, you know, we renovated, got it at 318.
Yep.
We done put about $400,000 in it. It appraised at 1.2.
That's beautiful.
So let's be clear.
That's beautiful.
And we not even, and it's definitely, we own 3 acres, Ooh. Whole house, guest house.
Beautiful.
Pool.
The estates.
Watson Estates in the building.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's my primary home. And I always complain about it. You know, I spend a lot of time complaining about it, especially at the top of the year. I'm so busy, 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 busy. And I had to sit back one day and reflect, like, my whole family come here.
Yeah.
This is our lifetime house. So let me buy me something in the city so I can be there when I need to be there to do my business. But when I'm home, I'm at peace. When mm-hmm. I'm at home, and it's a family home.
Yeah.
And I want to have that. A lot of us don't have that.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean? If we had to go back home, where we going?
And it's nothing wrong with that. And that's why, like, for me, I moved so much in my life.
Right.
Right? From childhood to adulthood.
Right.
I moved, like, probably every couple years.
Right.
Now, this, for me, is more so like, yo, I'm not moving probably.
Exactly.
Like, and that's why I decided to build it. At first, and Tooks would tell you, like, I wasn't going to build it. I was just going to just gut rehab it. But I said, you know what? Fuck it. Like, let me just build what I want because I know the equity play is there.
Yeah.
So what I'm gonna probably doing, honestly, is pull out a line.
Other me knowing me, money.
I'm gonna take that
OPM,
OPM,
in. OPM.
That Monopoly money.
Cheers.
And I'm gonna go salute.
Cheers.
And I'm gonna go reinvest and just continue to build and continue to grow. But look, we gave so much information in this episode. How are we gonna recap this for the people so that way they take some actionable items? And they can go about their day and go execute.
I say some action items, you know, coming from the real estate world, you know, coming from my side of the fence is get you a real estate agent that's going to truly give you value numbers. What are the trends in your area? What's happening? If you're on the retail side, that's fine. Be on the retail side. Do what's best for you and your family, because buying a home is still better than renting any day, period. Because if you pay rent, that goes out the window. But if you're paying a mortgage, it's going into the investment of your property, and eventually you can pull that money out for anything you want to. So no matter how you look at it, you still winning. And if you're an investor, stay on the investor side and be educated about it. Like, don't think you can just jump into investing and because it's hard. It's hard to find the right contractors to flip the property or prepare the property the way that you want and make sure you have an agent or someone that's advising you on what the rents are, what the retail rents are, what the resale value is, so you can understand your numbers, your ARV. Because anything that you see advertised as the ARV minus 20, minus about 15 to 20% off that. Because they just it's cap. It's all cap. You got to do your own numbers. You got to do your own research. And you have to do your own due diligence. But don't bring your investor's hat to the retail hat. That's all I'm saying. Keep that retail hat over here. Keep that investment hat over here. And we're going to all have a lovely day. And that's Kiana Watson. I mean, I'm just keeping it real.
Okay.
And you can go to KianaWatson.com on YouTube because we coming. I'm coming for energy. Press the subscribe button.
Let them know. Look, man, I'm going to cut this off by saying, or finish my statement by saying, do your due diligence.
Yeah.
Right? Do your due diligence.
Please.
You know what? That's all I'm going to say.
You know what?
Just do your due diligence.
Because that's what we always basically say.
You know
say.
What I'm saying? Do your due diligence, man. So look, episode 2 in the books.
In the books.
This is great so far, Tooks. What you think? You think good? Yeah, they know you already, bro. So it's the podcast.
Tooks
so
said, like, I don't nobody okay. know me.
Like, yeah, they already know. They come up to Tooks now. Like, you're Tooks.
Yeah, you're Tooks.
Yeah, so it is what it is, man. This is Ranch and Gems. This has been another great episode. Hope you guys learned a lot from it. Again, leave a review, subscribe, follow us.
Follow us. Let us know your thoughts.
And
let us know what else you want to hear about. Because we don't know everything, but we know a lot about anything.
Nah, we definitely know a lot about a lot.
Yeah, we know a lot about a lot.
We know a lot about a lot. We're not going to dim our life. Fuck
can't
that
dim
shit.
Your life.
We can't dim
your
life.
We know a lot about a we lot. Know so a I lot think, about you know, let us know what else you want to hear. But yeah, retail buyer versus investor buyer, you're equally great.
Everybody's
just two different mindsets.
Two different mindsets. Everybody go out there and be great. A lot of episodes to follow, man. Again, Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700. Better
he's
known
serious
as
about
MG,
that number, y'all.
Guy.
He's serious
look,
about that.
I'm saying in compliance because, look, when you're out here how we are, we're transactional.
Yeah, I agree.
And look, when I say that number, because people ask me, what's that number? That's my license number, right?
You can look it up.
And you can look it up, right? They do it anyway.
Yeah, they are.
Right? But we're two people who are licensed professionals in this business. We're transactional, so we're closing deals actively.
Yeah.
We're not internet people, but we have internet platforms, right?
I agree.
And we use it for marketing. We use it to grow our businesses. Mm-hmm. And we use it to educate our communities.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we're helping people build wealth. And it's the reason why we did Rants and Gems, and I'm happy that Kiana agreed to do it with me, is because it's loan officer and realtor, broker. Like,
we see so much.
We see everything. We see so much. We're the pulse of the market.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I agree.
We're making the deals happen. Like, so when people are reporting things on the news, if you haven't like, sold a house or originated a loan, what the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. Like,
you don't know what we go through.
Exactly.
You don't know firsthand because we're dealing with the people. So the purpose of both of our platforms, even outside of the show, is to educate our community, to push our community. It may be tough love.
You may not like everything we say, but you got to respect it.
You got to respect it because we're both proven industry professionals, top producers, and we're doing what we have to do for our community. And our brain is your brain. And stay tuned for more episodes.
Yeah, stay tuned for more. I'm looking forward to it. More community, more sharing.
More community,
and
more sharing.
And more understanding. Like, let's get an understanding because you are a buyer. Or you are an investor, baby.
It's either or.
It's either or for me, baby. I don't double back. I be saying what I said, and I stand strong in it. It ain't the same.
Look, it is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't. So, look, man, we're going to sign off right now, man. Like I said, leave those comments, like, follow, share, subscribe. Shout out to the whole team, the EYL Network. Look, the biggest in the game right now for financial literacy. Don't play with us.
Oh, they up.
All right.
It's up.
Do not play with us. All right. Y'all see
the
shell.
You know our thing. It's up and it's stuck.
It's up and it's stuck. All right.
All right. Bye, y'all.
I'm out of here. Peace.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.